Hello, everybody. It's George Ireland, so welcome back to the channel. I am reporting that Aga Khan IV has been called to Janat. So he died at the age of 88 yesterday. He's leader of the Ismaili Muslims, the 49th Imam. So he's supposedly a descendant of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings upon him. Now, the Prophet Muhammad had nine wives, not all at the same time, four maximum. He was moderate, of course. He wouldn't want to be overindulgent, four at a time, and therefore had, I don't know how many children, but it goes back to that rice, that grain of rice on the chessboard paradigm. If you have one grain of rice on the first chessboard and two in the second and four on the third, and keep doubling, increasing exponentially, by the 64th square on the chessboard, you've got, 18 quadrillion or something like that. Supposing he had only one child with nine wives, and each of those nine children had only two children down to this day. But obviously, we could never have that number of people in the world. Quadrillions, we've got not quite 9 billion now, more than have ever died, people say. But that's only because you have to remember, people marry their cousins, and not just their first cousin, but without knowing. You know, I could marry my eighth cousin. I wouldn't know her from Adam if she came in the room. But so is he descended from the Prophet Muhammad? Well, possibly. Loads of people are. So the Ismailis are a subset of Shia Islam, believing in certain imams. So the Aga Khan as such, the Aga Khan IV, it was his great-great-grandfather, was Aga Khan I, was a leader of the Ismailis in British India in the 19th century, i.e. then including Pakistan and Bangladesh. I mean, there are virtually no Shias in Bangladesh. But the Shias are 200 million in the world maximum, okay, and the Ismailis are a small subset of that, of roughly 10 million, mostly found in South Asia or in those Indian communities in East Africa, like Pakistan, like Tanzania and Kenya, and they tend to be highly successful in business. The Aga Khan was very, very wealthy, thought to have, up to 20 billion US dollars. So this Aga Khan, who was born in Switzerland, a nice haven for the super rich to minimize their tax liability, and he died in Portugal. He was schooled in Kenya. He briefly went to Le Rosé, the most expensive school in the world in Switzerland, so fluent in French and English. And for someone who's supposedly of Indian descent, ultimately Saudi Arabian descent, he was remarkably white. That's because family, they'd married white women for a few generations, and he was to carry on like this. So although he's leader of the Ismaili community, he was seemed to be scarcely Muslim himself. So a voice for liberal Islam. And some people say, well, he was hardly Muslim at all. So he married a white British woman himself and had children, later married a German lady, and indeed actually taught his stepdaughter way back in about 2007. So he'd been to Harvard University. He was a citizen of numerous countries, including Iran, and he represented Iran in the Olympic Games. So got away with the Shah of Iran, for they had one. A British citizen, I'm not sure I acquired that. A Swiss one, who was born in Switzerland. I don't think he did his Swiss military service. I'm not sure he became a citizen of France, but he had a house in Paris and Portugal, made an honorary citizen of Canada as well. So I don't know how you can be an honorary one. So that was him. And he spoke with a very British accent. So someone who was perhaps multicultural, very international, cosmopolitan, always flying around the place. So in the 19th century, the British authorities had recognized him, his ancestor, as the Aga Khan, and granted him the title of His Highness. And his father, Aga Khan III, it was his grandfather, his father predeceased that one, was a very well-known figure in British upper-class circles in the 1920s, 1930s. I remember Brendan Behan, when he's arrested, well, he claims, and obviously jocularly, that he said that he was financial advisor to the Aga Khan, and the family were very equestrian. They owned a lot of racehorses, so they're always betting about that. So a lot of the people of Asiatic origin living in Uganda were booted out by Idi Amin, were Ismaili Muslims, or Nizari Ismailis, some of them say. So the Aga Khan, he had a good relationship with the then Prime Minister of Canada, Pierre Trudeau, the father of Justin Trudeau. And so that's why Aga Khan spoke to Pierre Trudeau and managed to persuade the Dominion of Canada to take in a lot of these Asiatics from Uganda. So anyway, he had quite good relations with various Christian leaders. He knew Her Britannic Majesty, so a very humane, elegant person. What can I say? But I don't see how he was much of a spiritual leader. I didn't even pretend to be a very observant Muslim. It was later the Aga Khan University, which was established, I think, was in Kazakhstan, and lots of charities. I was going to know how much of his money that he donated. So he's a patron of numerous organizations. And he also tried to encourage Islamic architecture, was seen as rather a playboy. So he leaves a number of children, and they say that his eldest son, and I suppose it's a hereditary thing, Prince Rahim al-Husseini is to be Aga Khan V, therefore making the fifth imam, as in leader like that, because he nominated his son, his eldest son, to take over after him. And there was no surprise about that one. You can see some interviews with the late Aga Khan IV. I don't know quite what the cause of death was, but his family, they'd spent a long time in Iran many, many centuries ago. And Her Britannic Majesty Elizabeth II recognized Aga Khan IV as being His Highness. It was given to him in 1957, even though it was a sort of non-territorial monarchy. They had no area of land to call their own. So that's a bit unusual. And indeed, the Shah of Iran, Mohammad Reza Pahlavi, did that as well. So he severed his connections to Iran after the Islamic Revolution. He was loaded with honors by various different countries, okay, well known for doing good. So that's him, Aga Khan. How did he get all this money? I mean, some of it was inherited business deals. Do all the Ismaili Muslims donate to him? There's an Ismaili mosque in London, in South Kensington, more or less across the road from the Natural History Museum. It doesn't really look like a mosque. And I spoke to some of the old women going there saying, is it an Ismaili one? Well, perhaps he'll be sorely missed. He's probably buried already, as according to Mohammedan custom, the dead are usually interred before the sun sets twice. Because someone dies just before sunset, there's often not enough time to, some of the mourners dig the grave, blah, blah, blah. So you might leave it like 25 hours till it sunsets a second time. So this rule comes from obviously the 7th century Anno Domini in Saudi Arabia, because of course there was such putrefaction and that kind of heat, there was no way of preserving corpses for a long time. It was important to get the dear departed underground fast before the body starts to distend and rot, and it would be a terrible menace to public health. Well, that's the Aga Khan IV being summoned by Allah to his reward. He should be sorely missed. He's certainly not the worst Muslim leader in the world. Toodaloo.